The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Oh, the madness. Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158, Gil Alexander, Radio's Gil Alexander. And ladies and gentlemen, it's Radio's Kelly Bidlin. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
How was your first day of the madness?
YouTube television's Gil Alexander?
I go with radio. Sounds funnier.
First day of madness was cool. I only had two bets. I literally only bet two games. It was the two we talked about yesterday. Yale, which America's team lost yesterday, it felt like. We went down with that one. And then I had Omaha first to 10. That got home. Those first to 10 bets, man. They are too much fun, because that was, you should have seen me off the couch yelling.
I was gonna lay minus 500 that you yelled Omaha, like, well,
Did you watch the beginning of that game? It was like seven. They got out to like a 7-2 lead, and they just kept jacking up threes, and it's like clank, clank, clank. I'm like, just make one.
That was your big takeaway from yesterday. It was Omaha.
Yeah.
Trying to get
first
to 10.
Tens, man.
By the way, on the show today, it is a Friday. You know what that means on a numbers game. Felica and Fezzik, hour number two. Chris Felica, all his bets. Steve Fezzik, not only his bets, but all of his betting insights and thoughts. Dr. Bob will join us before them today. Dr. Bob with all of his college basketball thoughts. I hope he remembers he's an hour earlier. I should probably text him. Probably do that. Grace Remington will join us with the Vibe Report. I don't know if she's going to be at the pool today at Circus Swim, or she's going to be inside.
In the book.
We saw her yesterday. We're like, let's not let Grace freeze 2 days in a row.
I think so, yeah.
All right. So she'll be in the book today to give us the vibe down at the Circus Sportsbook right behind us. And then before that, a little Jason Weingarten as well. I just want to go through these real quick one by one yesterday, just like in 5 seconds each. You ready for this? So Creighton Louisville tipped off yesterday, and Creighton just ran them out. Remember with the formula, every week we have the isolated teams that are, you know, that qualify to win the championship based on our tried and true formula through the years. We did four iterations of it this year. Louisville at one point was on the outside looking in. They just got rolled by Creighton. Creighton beats them by 14. Purdue beats High Point by 12. That torpedoed a lot of people's popular High Point plus the points pick. And it looked like that was in cover position most of that game until Purdue got there at the end. Wisconsin blows out Montana. Houston, after somewhat of a slow start, crushes SIU Edwardsville. Auburn, same thing, slow start, crushes Alabama State. And then the real first sort of upset, at least in terms of seeding, right? 12-5. McNeese beats Clemson by 2. And if you just saw the final score, that was super-duper cosmetic.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Clemson...
had 13 at half, Gil.
They had 13. It was 31-13 at the half in favor of the Cowboys of McNeese State. I don't know why we never say state anymore with McNeese. But they led 31-13, McNeese did at the half, then 40-16. They led by 24 4 minutes into the second half. They led by 17 with 4.5 minutes left in the game. 17. I mean, this thing is Katie bar the door, right? And then Clemson made 4 threes in the last minute to just get that game, just soar that game over. But McNeese, even though they win by 2, were never really in jeopardy. But that was the first big upset of the day. And then BYU, I think, I don't know how much of this was a surprise, because a lot of people loved VCU, but we knew this was a bad matchup in terms of, for both teams, right, that they ended up having to play each other. By halftime, BYU had a double-digit lead against VCU, and it was kind of over early in the second half. BYU ends up winning by 9. The biggest no-show of the day was Georgia. Georgia, I don't know if you know this, but the NCAA tournament started yesterday. Georgia trailed 20.
That was a comical one, yeah.
I want to get this right. 27-3 and 30-5. Is that good?
Not great, Bob.
Gonzaga ends up winning by 21 in a runout. Tennessee blasts Wofford. Arkansas-Kansas was a pretty good game. So these are the night games. Arkansas-Kansas, pretty good. It was kind of back and forth. And then Arkansas had the flurry at the end. The kid from Kansas goes out with the Achilles. Adams does. And then you're like, oh, boy. And Arkansas ends up winning that, which was big for a survivor for me. A&M over your Yale Bulldogs, which was never really a tight game.
It teased us at the end.
Yale teased it a little bit, but it wasn't really.
It would have been an amazing cover. Like, it would have been a horrible bad beat if they ended up getting home.
I had the plus 7.5, and I was like, we still have a shot at this, and it didn't get there. But they were never in, you know, never chance of them winning.
Yeah, but Gil, you brought this up a few weeks ago. You know, the end of that game, I got upset. When did these college kids stop trying hard? I usually get angry about the college kids trying too hard and foul until the very last second, and they kind of let it go at 9 seconds left.
Yeah, well, in the day, I mean, 9 seconds. I mean,
it was right there. Yeah,
Drake over Mizzou was kind of like Arkansas over Kansas. It was, you know, like Arkansas sort of had it, and then they wobbled, and then they sustained it at the end. Same thing with Drake; they had it, they wobbled, but they were able to outlast Mizzou at the end of that game. And then the night finished. UCLA ended up crushing Utah State. St. John's, after a slow start, crushes Nebraska Omaha. The capper at the end was Texas Tech beats UNC Wilmington, a game UNC Wilmington squad by 10. But Michigan UC San Diego lived up to the hype after Michigan just, you know, flurry at the beginning. They went up 10-0 before you could blink.
Yep.
And then, you know, everybody on Twitter, I told you this was going to happen. You were right to be upset about your UCSD play. Michigan's crushing them. There's no way they were ever going to lose this game. And UC San Diego was awesome in the second half. That was a great display. They tied it up late, and the real sort of whimper at the end, because the last possession sucked.
Yeah, what were they doing?
That was a terrible success. But they were doing that whole thing where they had, you know, they had both Wolf and Golden on, you know, they had bigs on guards, and the guards would do the step back and nail these threes, UCSD, and then at the end it didn't work out on the final possession. So Michigan, for some, got the cover. But, you know, we look at these from all different perspectives. Hope your brackets went okay. Our VEASAN bracket challenge, I went 5-5. What did you do? I was very middling on the bracket.
I have absolutely no idea.
Okay, yeah. So I got 10.
I'll check after today.
I got 10 more plays today. Do we have that graphic, by the way?
Yeah.
10 more plays? So this is, again, VEASAN's bracket challenge. I hope everybody was able to get in. I know we promoted it a whole bunch on the run-up to the deadline yesterday, and we might have crashed that site yesterday with all the people trying to get in there. But we ended up with, like, was it the last hour? We had tons of sign-ups for this. So, yeah, 5-5 for me yesterday.
You didn't purposely split it up 10-10, did you?
I did not purposely split it up 10-10. I'm missing a check mark, by the way. I'm lacking a check mark there. Where did you guys shortchange me? You shortchanged me a check mark somewhere on there. But anyway, 5-5. And so today, what's left for me? I am on Carolina versus Ole Miss. These are contest plays. Liberty plus the points against Oregon. Grand Canyon plus the points against Maryland. Memphis plus the points against Colorado State, but as I'll explain in a minute, I have conflicts all over the place in that game. Robert Morris, Alabama, over 166.5, and then I have Alabama laying the points against Robert Morris. So I just hope Alabama goes crazy and it's an over, it's a correlated thing. And then on the right side here, I got the Florida Norfolk State under, the Grand Canyon Maryland over, so I'm also not only Grand Canyon plus the points, but I want the over there. And what else here? Oklahoma plus the points against UConn. Iowa State laying the 2 touchdowns despite not having Keyshawn Gilbert against Lipscomb. By the way, the discrepancy there is you gave me an X by the St. John's under. That should be a check mark. So 5-5 is what I was yesterday. But to win a VEASAN bracket challenge against other VEASAN folks, because there's a VEASAN category with, I think, 54 of us, and then there's the big pool of folks who are doing it. And by the way, when we do the big, you know, you can't really update the standings after day one of the round because some people have played all 20 games and some people have played seven games. So you don't really know what the standings are until tomorrow. So those are my remaining 10 plays in the bracket challenge, fade or follow. The reason that I say that, and by the way, I did add one ATS play for round two. Round two will have 10. The one play I actually have in pocket, I took McNeese plus the points. The aforementioned McNeese State Cowboys. Again, when you look at these teams, they beat Clemson, even though they crushed them, it only ends up a 2-point win. But now they have Purdue, they're catching 6. And when you look at, like, you know, McNeese's performance against other top 100 teams, so in addition to that game yesterday against Clemson, even though they didn't win a bunch of them, they were always competitive. They lost by 8 to Alabama in an away game. They beat North Texas by 7 at home. They lost to Liberty by 4 on a neutral. They lost to Santa Clara by 7 at home. They lost to Mississippi State only by 3 on a neutral, and then the Clemson win yesterday, where, again, it was only a 2-point win, but it should have been way more than that, obviously, on a neutral. So I like McNeese State plus the 6 against Purdue. Purdue had all kinds of trouble covering yesterday. So that's my one play in pocket, and then I'm thinking about adding Creighton plus the points against Auburn.
I haven't bet anything. That's the biggest one sticking out to me is Creighton. I mean, you can get 9.5 points right now. That's pretty juicy.
Survivor yesterday was great. Again, my Survivor, three entries. You're allowed. Hey, thank you for football season. There you go. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Darnell. This is one where I have three entries, right? You have a max three entries, and you're allowed one rebuy, one mulligan before the Sweet 16. So I went 2-3 yesterday. I hit on Arkansas. I hit on Drake. My third entry was UCSD. It's all seeding rewarded, too, when it comes to tiebreakers and in terms of the standings. So that's why I'm taking the longer seeds, right? So I rebought on the UCSD with Colorado State today, even though I have Memphis in this bracket challenge. So I'm all confused in that game, right? I don't even know what I want. I probably want my survivor to win. So the re-entry, which I'm one and done on, I took Colorado State. And the other two where I had Drake and Arkansas, I ended up taking Carolina and Xavier. So that's how I'm playing my survivor. But again, you have to know the rules of your survivor, because if I didn't have upset rewarded or longer seeds, or what do we call it now? Higher, lower seeds? Fairly intelligent person. Still can't figure out higher and lower seeds. Those are lower seeds, right? No, those higher
seeds. Higher seeds.
Are they higher seeds?
I don't know.
No,
man.
They're lower seeds.
You and I should never have these conversations.
I take the lower seeds. There's the graphic. The graphic will display it right there. There we go. So there you see my one loss, but now I'm going. So yesterday was a 12, 11, and 10. The 11 and 10 seeds got through. Today I'm going 12, 11, and 11. And if I'm lucky enough to win all or some of those, then I will probably get a little more conservative starting at round number two. But that's how I play my survivor.
I'm on. I always got you on the over-under on draft positions. Yeah. This one, no, there's no right way on that. Okay, I'm on with you, North Carolina survivor today. Let's go.
This is the. Oh, you got one entry. You went,
I got one. Yeah,
what'd you do yesterday?
Gonzaga yesterday got through.
The beauty of the madness. There's so many ways to play this. Actual bets, brackets, contests, survivor, coming back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Horse racing fans, get ready. VSiN's bringing you right to the heart of the action. It's VSiN at the track. You know about this, Kelly? The road to the Kentucky Derby. Today and every Friday leading up to the Triple Crown. With two more Derby prep races coming up on Saturday, we're handicapping those races and looking at the top contenders for this year's Run for the Roses. Join horse racing experts Mike Somich and Aaron Halterman today, 2:30 p.m. Eastern, on the VSiN YouTube channel at VSiN Live. Whether you're a seasoned handicapper or just getting into the sport of kings, we've got everything you need to prepare for this year's Derby. Don't miss VSiN at the track, streaming live today, 2:30 p.m. Eastern, on the VSiN YouTube channel at VSiN Live as we count down to the Triple Crown. And that's how this goes, right? March Madness gives way to the Masters, which gives way to the NFL draft, baseball happening in the background, our sports, tennis and golf all throughout, and then the Derby, right? The first Saturday in May. First leg of the Triple Crown.
Samo bombs every Friday.
Samo bombs.
Love it.
We get tweets at Beat the Book. Always appreciate the feedback from everybody. Nikki Betts 303. He's in the VSiN Bracket Challenge. He says, I know it's early, but am I really in 18th place? Let's go. First prize, $3,000. He's 11-5 out of the chutes. Jamie Leva, dropping money beelines is one of the many reasons I love this show. Does a young svelte Kelly know Tupac started his career as a stage dancer for Digital Underground? Have a fantastic weekend, gentlemen.
Oh, you know what? I think I did know that.
Kelly Lyon. Broke dad. Maybe you did.
Nah,
why wouldn't
I couldn't have named the group. I could not have named it was Digital Underground. I can tell you that.
Broke dad. On this Fezzik Friday, has the research team found the Love Connection episode yet? No, we have not.
Hey,
we cannot find it.
I spent a good 7 minutes trying, though.
Okay? I spent a good six. Yeah, I can't find
it. So 13 combined minutes.
If you can find Fezzik and on Love Connection, what's the prize again? They go to the sushi spot with me?
Yeah.
Oh.
Or I'll just flat send you money, too. Like
yeah.
That's
cancer-free from stage four, NHL since May. Congratulations, by the way, cancer-free. Cam Ward at about minus 1,000 to go number one. Nope. If he goes number one, I'll be cashing a 7-1 ticket I made December 12th. Good for you.
Well, while we're bragging about that, I'll be cashing minus 190 that I got a whole $30 on at Caesars Sportsbook. Thanks, Caesars.
You need security out of there?
I'm going to need that. Yeah, I'm going to need
get
that.
This man security. Mario Las Vegas did not have Gil dropping a Digital Underground featuring Tupac's same song reference in my bracket today. And then Buddhist Man, what you know about Digital Underground, Kelly Bidlin? R.I.P. Shock G, the one who put the satin in your panties. That's what he writes right there. Okay, let's get to the man who is, again, I call him a pioneer in the business. He prefers, I believe one time he said legend. He hates that I keep bringing that up. It's the great Dr. Bob, everybody, at Dr. Bob Sports, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing all right. How would... embarrassed me with my legend. The one time I said legend just as a sort of an off the cuff thing, yeah. And now I'm a cocky jerk. You know.
Listen, Bob. I don't know if you know how this works, but these are recorded, we actually have evidence of these things.
Yeah, I get it. You know, I said legend once, and I can never live it down.
Sorry. I won't say I'll never bring it up again, though. I won't make that promise because it might come up again. Listen, it's a compliment. You're a pioneer, for God's sakes. I know you hate that it makes you sound old, but you are. In terms of predictive modeling of sports, how did the first day of March Madness treat you in terms of your bets?
Pretty good. I'm 8-4 so far. That's NIT and NCAA tournament combined. So far, so good.
What did you have in the dance yesterday?
Yesterday, my goodness, let's see.
I'm sorry. I hate when these segments surprise you. I apologize.
Yeah, I lost with, I picked A&M, which won, lost with Georgia. They got crushed.
They didn't show up. That was such a no-show by them.
Yeah, I had an easy win with the Utah State UCLA under, and then I had Purdue for a win, BYU for a win, and Louisville got crushed. So the two I lost were bad, but yesterday the four I won were all solid.
Well, you know, even when you get blown out, I remember you saying many times to Hateration on email, hey, it still counts as only one loss. Doesn't matter what the margin is.
You don't lose five times as much just because you lost. You know,
that's right.
Yeah, and one of my other losses was also really bad. So. Of the four losses, three of them were like ridiculously bad, but you know, I've got eight wins, so that's all that counts.
What might you be willing to share today? What do you have today?
Yeah, a couple. I like Iowa State. The line's down to 14 against Lipscomb. I think the market has overreacted to Iowa State's point guard Keyshawn Gilbert being out. Backup Nate Heiss is actually, as far as evaluating plays, box score plus minus, he's better in his statistical components than Gilbert, and also an actual plus minus. The Iowa State Cyclones have been better with Heiss on the court than they have been with Gilbert on the court. So I think there's been an overex. I do think there is some value to Gilbert because then you get in the backup of the backup sort of situation. So there are some minutes when Heiss and Gilbert are both not on the court, then those are negative. But it's not as negative as the market thinks. And I just think this is a good matchup for Iowa State. So I have them by 17.5. The line's only 14. So I jumped on Iowa State and still good value. In fact, I laid 14.5 because I thought the line was going to go up.
Wow.
I went down to 14. So a rare one where the line went against me.
I did not make a bet on that, but I have it as one of my plays in the VEASAN Bracket Challenge. I like that. Iowa State, despite not having Keyshawn Gilbert, Bob thinks that should be even higher. So he has made a bet on the Cyclones. What's the other one?
The other one is Oregon against Liberty. Oregon's been playing really well of late. They had won 8 straight games before losing to Michigan State in the Big Ten tournament. No shame there. But it's not uncommon for Oregon under Dana Altman to rally late in the season. He tends to get his rotation just right later in the season. He plays a lot of players early in the year generally, and then by the time February rolls around, late February, he kind of dials it in. Since 2012, so this is basically the Dana Altman era, in game number 28 or more of the season, Oregon is 71-37-4 against the spread, 40-21-1 against the spread in the postseason, and 17-6 against the number in NCAA tournament games. And the current rotation, the way I rate rotations, is about 1.5 better than the season rotation. And I have the Ducks by 10. I think Liberty's a little overvalued. So I have the Ducks by 10, and they're favored by – they were 6.5 when I released it. That one is up to 7. So that's
wow.
Oregon minus 7.
All right. Liberty, an even more popular dog than Lipscomb is. Everybody seems to have Liberty plus the points. But they do say even when they take liberties, I'm going against Dane Altman. So anecdotally.
Which is silly in the postseason.
Silly
in the season, Oregon, almost every single year, is really good late in the season.
What other things do you do, Bob, personally, besides, you know, making your bets and you're giving your bets out to clients? You're in a bunch of pools. Are you in a survivor pool? What do you do this time of year?
No, I'm in a pool that I've been with friends for 30 years, you know, like a 150-person sort of thing. That's about it. I used to be in some bigger pools, but I just kind of just make it simple and just have the one pool that I'm in. And I have a couple entries, one for me, one for my wife, one for my son. My son is Action Jackson. He tends to be a wild card.
One for my son. Your son is how old?
He's almost eight.
Is he making his picks or are you making them for him, Bob?
Occasionally I will ask him, who do you like between this and this? He has no idea. And then I just put down, you know, whatever he says.
Whatever
and
he says.
That's why he's a wild card.
Yeah.
So basically in one pool, I my gut says Florida is going to win it all.
That was my next question, because I know you do projections like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. My Duke is my highest rated team if Cooper Flagg is 100%. My gut says Florida. They remind me of Connecticut. Just good in every area. Good, and they have the makeup of a team that should do well in the NCAA tournament. But the public loves Florida, too. I'm not the only one. And then so the value, when I'm filling out your bracket, I look at what the nation's doing. I look at ESPN or Yahoo and check out what everybody's picking, and I compare it to my chance of making each round, and there's negative value in Florida. There's no value in it. If you take a team like Florida, I always say just – make sure you induce you put some variance somewhere else in your bracket, you know, with value to differentiate yourself, like take Iowa State to make the Final Four or something like that. So I Duke's my highest rated team. If Cooper Flagg's 100%, I just got my said Florida, so I took Florida, and I for the first time ever I took all number one seeds. I just think it's a chalky tournament.
That sort of answers Kelly's question from earlier.
Bob's sure.
Hey, Bob is sure. We do a segment called Are We Sure? And one of the questions was, are we sure that any of the top seeds will be beaten before the Final Four? And I mentioned it hasn't happened since 2008, but it's a better answer from you than it is from me.
I've never had that before. And it's just one of those years. I just think the top four teams are all just, there's a separation. Unlike I've seen in other years, they're clearly better than the fifth team, which is, you know, probably your Tennessee, Alabama-ish kind of team. Three points better than the fifth team, which is, I've never seen that. So
all right.
That's the way it worked out, and that's what I took. So,
predictive sports modeling pioneer, legend, vanguard, trailblazer, forerunner, Dr. Bob. Thank you, Bob.
All right, good luck today.
Valika, next.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, Sirius XM channel 158. We don't care how you're taking us in. We just appreciate that you are any which way. Any of the above.
That's right.
Or as Kelly says, if you do them all together, that would be kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah. Take a video of that. Not just a picture, because I need to be able to hear everything.
We got Fezzik coming up. We got Felica coming up. Friday's second hour. We love this so much. And Grace Remington will join us. Our own Grace Remington with a vibe report from Circus Sportsbook right behind us. It's called the Vibe Report, but it's also a vibe report. You know what I mean?
I'll give you an early vibe report.
Well,
where are y'all at? This place was jammed yesterday.
Well, they maybe lost all their money.
So
still got an hour and 15 minutes away from a tip-off. Let me go through some tweets first. Well, I only want to go through a few of these. You know how, like, sometimes you get a tweet and it still lives on your feed, but then the guy deletes it afterwards? But you can still see it, though, because I haven't refreshed? This might be the most offensive tweet I've ever gotten in my life. You ready for this?
Oh, this is good.
JC562076, since deleted, he says, "Hey, have you seen the movie Office Space?" he says to me. I'm like, "Yeah, of course I've seen the movie Office Space." He goes, you remind me of the opening scene. In the most complimentary way possible. Do you remember what the opening scene was?
No, I don't.
There was a dude listening to hip-hop, and then, like, he had to roll up his window.
Oh, this is when he's stuck in traffic? Right? Yes. He's stuck in traffic?
I'm like, yeah, dude, that's not me at all. I don't know. That's the worst thing. That's the worst thing anybody ever said to me. Ryan Hyatt, are you ready? It's time for Dump Button Friday, he says, on the glorious and much talked about second hour of a numbers game with Gil Kelly on VSiN. Who will force Kelly to hit that button today? Will it be Felica Fezzik or the wild card entrant Grace Remington? We have had a history. What Ryan is referring to is a history of potty mouth Fezzik Fridays and Felica Fridays and Dr. Bob Fridays. We got through Dr. Bob.
We got through Bob clean. So yeah, it's he's the favorite every Friday. So
let's bring Chris Felica in, the Bear from Fox Sports, part of the Bear. Not only part of, he's the emperor of the Bear Bets Empire over there. Multiple podcasts. You have a question from Twitter, Chris. First of all, good morning to you, sir.
Morning.
Courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. We have a question on Twitter from you. We'll start with there. Brocco wins. Roger Jones says, hi, Gil. Can you ask? And he writes this. He goes, can you ask Mr. El Oso, that's the bear in Spanish, if he feels his handicapping gets a bump after being in a big tournament? You were just in the big horse racing tournament out here. Yes or no?
Yes, I do. That's actually a great question. And I never fully like thought about it, but I do think it does, because I'm just consuming so many different races and so many different tracks over the course of 3 or 4 days that I'm watching and noticing things that I probably wouldn't have seen if it wasn't for being present in a tournament like that. So I'm seeing results, and I'm seeing trips, and I'm seeing horses, and looking at past performances that maybe I wouldn't necessarily have looked at. So I'm filing all of these things away. I'm seeing results happen. Maybe did I have the right horse? Did I maybe get, be like, there was a horse at Fairgrounds, that I, not Fairgrounds, Oaklawn, that I had at like 19-1 that ran second and just had a started late. I just kind of broke a little slow and came flying up for second. So the horse breaks better. He probably wins. So yeah, there are things that you maybe wouldn't have noticed that you file away for later. So yeah, good question, and I do think that it does. And just the fact that you're in that room talking to a bunch of people about their opinions as well. I always say, like, whenever I lose a wager or see a wager someone win that I maybe wouldn't have had, I always like to use it as a learning experience and figure out why I missed something and why someone else may have won on it.
How did your friend do, by the way? Because I know going into the last day, your friend was like in sixth place. How did he do in the end?
Alex finished eighth. He had a great run. He finished eighth and took home, I think, just under $100,000. Another guy at my table finished 20th. Another colleague of mine. It was a good week for everybody there, except for me, who got to the cut line with three races to go on Saturday, and then I couldn't get another winner. But I was super happy for Alex and Paul.
Well, the first hour when I was busy talking about college basketball, Kelly was spending the whole hour trying to find the horse race that you bet on today.
Only like five minutes.
Where is that horse? And who
tomorrow,
is that
tomorrow?
Horse?
Yeah, tomorrow. It's a big day at Fairgrounds tomorrow. Louisiana Derby, Fairground Oaks is kind of their last go around of Kentucky Derby preps. And you see 4-5 in a horse race. You don't always want to take 4-5, but really it's not that bad of a price. I'm looking at the number 7 horse. In the Fairground Oaks tomorrow, Good Cheer. She's probably going to be the significant favorite in the Kentucky Oaks. She is 5-5 lifetime from Brad Cox, 5 daylight wins. You look at the field, and the only horse that I think that potentially could upset her is the number 3 horse, Hava. Shuri DeVoe's horse, second time out, 8-1. Like, I'd be looking at betting the number 7 horse at 4-5, Good Cheer, to take an undefeated record into the Kentucky Oaks.
Before we get to your international football picks, otherwise known as soccer, we had a little bit of clairvoyance here happen prior to the segment. Kelly, we did Are We Sure earlier, Estamos Seguros. We did Are We Sure, and Kelly didn't read through his whole list. And one of the things you had was, are we sure that the... What, you had a specific team?
Are we sure?
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers is a better quarterback option than Jameis Winston.
And Chris Felica had no knowledge of this.
No knowledge of this.
And randomly, before the segment, asked.
I said, are we sure you wouldn't rather have Jameis Winston as quarterback as Aaron Rodgers? You guys were talking about like making a joke about the Giants and winning a Super Bowl with Jameis Winston and Malik Nabers. And I'm sitting here just because like Aaron's been rumored to the Giants. And I'm like, I don't know. I might actually rather prefer to have Jameis than Aaron Rodgers right now.
I would.
It's just so much drama around Aaron Rodgers. I mean, older. I mean, Jameis, his teammates love him. Yeah, he throws some picks, but I don't know. And you look at the salary cap hit that you're going to take as well. Like, I don't think that's like the worst decision you could possibly make. Give me Jameis
Give me Jameis.
25 over Aaron Rodgers.
I really hope he ends up on the Giants. Like, Giants fans, you're not going to be good anyways. Like, you might as well have some fun with Jameis throwing bombs to Malik Nabers all year.
At least make it not boring. That's right.
Yeah, and we're going to have to sit here and watch that. I'm not going to say the word. I don't want to hear any cashing tickets is what it's all about.
Remember.
I don't want to hear that.
Remember.
It's they're going to put him in primetime 19 times. Give us Jameis. Let's have fun.
It's a bigger crime to be boring than it is to suck.
That's right.
That's right. So Giants, come on. Do the right thing. What about your soccer plays? What do you have?
I had to put two plays here just because the under that I really like is -205. You know, I'm not going to give out a -205, but tomorrow I put together a two-legged parlay. It comes out to -102. League One, Wrexham Stockport, under 2.5. Wrexham is obviously everybody knows Wrexham. They're looking for automatic promotion up to the Championship League next year. They're tied with Wickham, who they just beat last week, but they're down on goal differential. Stockport's in a spot for a promotion berth in the playoff, at least right now. Both teams have been playing lower scoring games lately. I think this is a very deliberate match, and under 2.5 in Wrexham Stockport tomorrow is something that I like. And then I parlayed that with League Two, the double chance with Walsall versus Gillingham, and that gets you to -102. Walsall is the top of the table in League Two. They've kind of made a mess of things lately. They had a big lead, and now their lead is only 3 points, and Gillingham's really further down in the table. Walsall's on the road. They should at least come away with the point here. So Walsall double chance against Gillingham, and Wrexham and Stockport under 2.5. That gets you to -102.
These are two of the most convoluted picks we've ever had in the history of the show.
I really wish Chris Flick would stop stealing my plays.
Let me repeat that. In horse racing, he's got
I feel like Nigel.
Good cheer in the Fairgrounds Oaks. That's the 11th race tomorrow. Then he has a soccer parlay, the Wrexham Stockport under 2.5 parlayed with Walsall's double chance, and that comes out to -102.
Because why not?
Wait,
because
I think I have a legit follow-up question. Isn't Wrexham Stockport like a rivalry? Did I learn that in watching the show, Chris, or no? Am I whiffing?
I believe it is, yes.
Okay. We both believe it is.
Glad we got that squared away.
Makes it even more apt for an under.
Let's go to the big dance. What did you bet today?
Yeah, I'm Oppo, you, and Jason there. I took Ole Miss plus the 1.5. Again, Chris Beard is a tournament coach in the first round that you don't want to really bet against. North Carolina just seems like everybody's darling now. This was a UNC team that really hadn't done anything during the course of the year. And now we're lauding them. We're moving them through to the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight because they beat a bad Mountain West team. I think they're running up against an Ole Miss team. Plays much better defensively, has much more, many more scoring options than San Diego State did. So I like the Rebs plus the 1.5. And then tomorrow, I lay the 7.5 with Texas Tech for whatever bankroll I have left after yesterday. I love Texas Tech. They kind of got their bad game out of the way yesterday when Wilmington kind of made a game of that. They should get McMillan back playing Drake. Drake, congratulations. You dribbled down your leg and you survived against an Ole Miss team that really couldn't get out of its own way. You're not going to face that tomorrow. I love Texas Tech laying the 7.5 tomorrow.
Survivor, you're in. We're in Survivor together. How did you do yesterday?
I went 1-2. I had Creighton, which was the first one in the bag, which was great. Won that, and then I had Georgia, which decided not to show up. But then I had Yale, which obviously decided not to show up either. So I went 1-2, and I bought back on the other two, and I went Baylor today.
What did you do today?
I went Baylor today. I went Baylor on two and Liberty on the other.
Baylor on two and Liberty on the other. Again, it's upset rewarded, so that's why he went Liberty on the other, which is
especially with the ones that you really need to pick up seed points there in order to have a chance later.
That's right because you're starting at zero with the rebuy entry. Chris, always a pleasure. By the way, the Georgia thing, we're not making enough of that. That was one of the weirdest no-shows.
30-5? Is that what it was?
27-3 and then 30-5.
Oh, yeah. Embarrassing.
Yeah, that's not good. Not
it
good.
Just means more in the SEC.
It just means more. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it as always. Steve Fezzik, the only back-to-back winner of the Hilton Super Contest, next on A Numbers Game.